there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
Brilliant to be here. Now, we thought this morning would be a good opportunity for us to hear a little bit about what's in Simon's heart, the vision, but also there may be some things you don't know about Simon, particularly those of you that may be a little bit newer. So we'll tell a little bit of that story as well. And Simon and I go back quite a long way now. I would say 1997-ish?
1932.
Something like that. So that is quite a while. And you may or may not know that they actually used to live on this estate. And they lived on Park Close, which is just the other side of Banjo Island. And you actually helped out in the chip shop once, didn't you? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, that's true. They got rid of the undesirables like a few years ago. One Christmas Eve, I turned up at the chip shop to get some Chinese food, and they were queuing out down the road, like queuing. So by the time I got there, like got to the food, it took about half an hour just to get to the food. And what's his name used to come to the church?
Didn't he? Raymond, but also previous to Raymond, they did as well.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I looked at him, I said, "Are you struggling?" He went, "Totally." I said, "Do you need help?" He went, "Do you mind?" So I spent Christmas Eve, I took my food home, gave it to Ali and the family, ate my food and came back and worked till 1:30 in the morning, washing up. So I've worked in a Chinese takeaway.
And this one on the island. Yeah. There you go.
There you go.
Rita was probably in the queue.
Yeah. So. It's true. Rita was in the queue. She said, "Can I have 15 fish and chips, please? And 27 chicken chow mein."
That's right.
It was outrageous.
And we first met in a church in town that you visited and spoke at. But then I came Jamaica here Street. To some youth event or something. Yeah. And that's kind of where we got to know each other, didn't we?
Yeah.
And met each other.
Do you want to explain why you were here?
Yeah. For Jesus.
And?
There was a nice girl.
I remember you standing against that wall there.
That's right.
Like just... perfect position, 180 degrees, could watch the whole room.
Doing this.
Oh, yeah. I think we were both doing that, to be fair.
I actually did. I did have it.
I think yours went before mine.
And then we went to we used to go to like a national conference of churches, and it was happening, it took place in Bognor Regis, of Butlins in Bognor Regis, yeah. And I was there, you were there. And Mark Ritchie was there as well, and a few others that we know. And
how did you get in?
I snuck in. So I never had any money. I was skint. And it was £10 to get in for the day. So I got into the boot of a friend's car. And I got in through the security gates in the boot of a car. It was, yeah. I know, I'm confessing to you now.
Looking at me as if it's my fault. No, nothing to do with
me. It was definitely not. Well, actually, interestingly, the TV program at that time that was really big was a TV program called Confessions. Do you remember this? And they did a game at that conference, a Confessions game. And I was scared stiff they'd found out what I'd done and that I'd snuck in and that I was going to have to confess in front of the whole audience. But thankfully, they didn't. But that is the conference where I felt God call me into ministry. And so he was obviously, he saw beyond. Yeah.
From boot to Bristol.
That's right. But that really, we struck a connection there as a, you know, and I spent more and more time with you guys. And ultimately, that brought us here to where we are. And there's a lot in between, but we've really been part of each other's lives now for nearly for a lot of years, so I'll try. I'm not going to do the maths off the top of my head, and I think I have said it many times, and will continue to say that for me, Si and Ali and Danny would say that they've been incredible mentors to us, father and mother in the faith, really, and have looked after us. We've laughed together, cried together, fought together, argued together, And it's been a brilliant journey, hasn't it?
Yeah. By God's grace.
It has. Yeah. Let's just zip forward, because we also work together, not just in one church. Simon and I work for the Assemblies of God, which is the denomination that we are a part of, a network of churches that we're a part of. There's about 1,000 churches across the country in that network. So when the pastors come together every May, there's around about 1,000 of us in a big convention center. And Simon actually is, well, tell us what you do for the Assemblies of God.
Yeah, just a slight correction. Go on. It's 1,000 pastors and 600 churches. Yes. Right, so it's just a slight correction there. So the churches themselves, so one church is part of Assemblies of God, which is, we call it an autonomous setup. So each church runs their own affairs, but comes under the umbrella of an organization called Assemblies of God. It's like a protection, it's like an affinity. So you have the autonomous run of the local church and the protection of the network of churches, or the national churches. And that's led by Glyn Barrett. Mm-hmm. Now, Glyn Barrett also leads Audacious Church in Manchester, but he wanted to pull together a team of leaders who would not only run local churches, but would be responsible for national roles as well. So this dual role was created. And he asked me to join his team my title is Leadership Development Director. Or sir, if you prefer. I accept both as I answer to both, but please tip your hat or curtsy if you're speaking to me from now on, because now you know. And the joking aside, there is a one of the things that that I feel we do well as one church is we grow leaders. And we develop leaders, and we help people grow into their calling and gifting in Jesus, which is absolutely fabulous. So what was exciting for me is to be involved in something nationally that we learned locally. Yeah. So Glyn asked me to run the national development based on what I'd done locally. That's a nice thing to do, isn't it? Will this stretch up? Will it step up? That's the question. So all I had to do is figure out what we did in one church, Gloucester, in Podsmead, in Bristol, in Canesham. Right? Could we extend that to work with the 600 churches in the nation? So that was the question. And so over 4 years ago now, I sat down, scratched my head, and came up with a plan. And that has been very exciting, because that involves several layers of responsibility. So this is what I fit into my day a week for Assemblies of God. Right? The first one is the development of ministers for their status ministerial status. So when they get ordained as ministers, that's my responsibility to assess them and train them ready for their ordination within Assemblies of God. So Chris, your brother, recently, and Kai recently received their ordination on a course that was designed and run by me, or indirectly, us, because you've all contributed, because I've practiced on you in some way or some form. If it didn't work, it didn't make the mark. And isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? So there is, that is those responsibilities. Now, some of those responsibilities, we have coaches. I need people to help me become the enforcers of the development. And Mike is one of the coaches, along with Amy from One Church Gloucester. So they're both coaches on that course. And Mike has just recently been promoted to head coach for September this year, when the next group of pastors are coming through. To give you some idea how this has grown, so when we started, we had 35 pastors who signed up for their ministerial status assessment, which is a 3-year assessment. And 31 of them made it. 4 of them are buried somewhere. We don't talk about that. 4 of them just dropped out or weren't quite ready. It's a little bit like a driving test. Everybody does it, but not everybody passes. And so 31 went through and got their accreditation in May this year. This year, in September, with the new cohort, that Mike is the head coach, we've got 84. So that's a big jump, isn't it, over those 4 years. So some things work in there, in that element of there. So that's one of my responsibilities. Have you heard of Young Lions? Yeah. Young Lions is my responsibility. And we've launched something called Young Lions Juniors, which is developing leaders who are aged 11 and 12. And Jacob from this church is on that course. Isn't that fabulous? Please nod or smile or give me a thumbs up. Thank you. That's it. I do. I respond better to good response there. So, and then there's something else about developing pastors who are in position. How do we professionally develop them? So we call that CPD, continuous professional development. So designing something that helps our pastors grow in their role is also my responsibility. So I do all that on Tuesday. Literally. That's my Tuesday job. The rest of my work is serving in one church. And it's a real privilege to be part of that team. And there are 50 volunteer pastors who help me run leadership development in those different areas that is my responsibility. How exciting is that?
So we just wanted you to know that, because I thought you might not know that you are part of something that's not just impacting local areas, but impacting us as the nation, really, and churches across the nation through the work that we've been doing as one church. So you're part of that. And
all our pastors, or one church pastors, all have dual roles in assisting in that. So whether it's Young Lions or coaching or something, so these guys don't just have a local input. They are part of the national team as well, serving beyond the local church here. So Mike is serving 84, it's going down by the minute, 83 pastors nationally, all from the tip of Scotland down to the Tower of Cornwall.
There we go. Exciting. Fantastic. So that's a little bit what's happening nationally. Let's talk for a moment, Si, about our network. So obviously, we get to meet here every week. We don't necessarily see what's happening in Keynsham and Gloucester and Posmead, and there may be other things that are on the hob, in terms of what we're doing. Is that the right word? On the hob?
Yeah.
In the oven?
Yeah. We'll take any.
There
of
are
those.
Other things that are happening. Just give us a little bit of a
what
network.
What about on
update.
The barbecue? Can
we have maybe on the barbecue at this time of year?
That's right. Let's make it very current. Firstly. It is true, I haven't been here since September.
September, okay.
All right, that is, well, not on a Sunday. And there's a reason for that, is because my role as network lead means that if there's some major changes, and the pastor at Gloucester stepped down in July last year, and so we had to reinvent our systems and our structures to cover that area. So I stepped back in as the lead of that church, One Church Gloucester, along with 3 other assistant ministers. That's Tom, Amy, and Nathan. So that's Simon, Tom, Amy, Nathan. We call ourselves Stan. Simon, Tom, Amy, Nathan. Right, and the 4 of us have worked together since September to rebuild. Coming out of COVID, change of leadership was quite a key element of what our investment there. Now, first and foremost, Tom, Amy, and Nathan have done absolutely fantastic. Like what's happened in the last 9 months is truly phenomenal. And so we run 2 services there in Gloucester, and they're both packed. Like our biggest problem is the kids. We have 60 children coming, sometimes in one service, we have 60 children coming. So there's 100 children across two services, and that's our biggest problem. Like, we haven't got enough space for the children. So we're having to talk about a third service, an evening service, or what can we do to take the pressure off the children's workers, like, who do a fabulous job. Like, whether you're here or whether you are in any location, it's the bread and butter of what we do, one of the successful things we do in church life. If you have a successful children's program, families will come. So that's a real challenge for us. Can you pray for us in Gloucester at the moment? So I had a conversation with them. They were going, we need to do three services. I said, you're thinking wrong. Don't think three services, think five. And they all collapsed. And when I picked them up, I said, there is method in the madness here. See, because if you think five, if you come up with a plan of what you're going to do with five, like, you know what you're growing to. Otherwise, you have the next problem when you have to go three to four, yep. Right? You just create another crisis. But if you go straight to five or six or ten, that just seemed too many. You know what I'm saying? Yes?
Yeah.
So to go to five means once you've figured out how you're going to get to five, right, the next step means you're going how to get to three to four to five. And also, the step from two to three doesn't seem that big. So those are the things that we're working on in Gloucester at the moment, which is quite exciting there.
And I've been hearing things on the grapevine regarding a place called Tewkesbury. What's happening there?
Yes, so in while we're expanding I just felt God say to me, "What? Go and plant some churches." And I'll get to that in a moment, and the bigger vision of things. And there's a little cohort of people, around about a dozen, maybe 15, who are coming to the church in Gloucester, like, who are from Tewkesbury. So we've just started to sniff around. Not physically sniff around. That's really awkward if you're walking around Tewkesbury doing this, right? But literally, we've started to pray in the area. So we're using the intercessors in Gloucester to go and pray in that area and pray with the people from Tewkesbury and ask ourselves this simple question. Does God want us to start a church in Tewkesbury? And it's a good question because there are churches in Tewkesbury. Do we go and support? But you have to be obedient to what God is saying. So at this stage, all we're doing is praying. So last Sunday, we've hired the town hall on two Sundays in May and June, and we're doing prayer meetings in the town hall. Now, that sounds like it's massive. Like, the town hall's the size of this room. But when you say you're in the town hall, you're like, whoa, like, yeah, we had two meetings in the town hall. Yeah, it's, but people are coming to pray. What does prayer do? It clears the ground. It starts the opportunity. You can ask an honest question. God, do you want us here? Right? And prayer genuinely changes things. And there's something very powerful about coming together, getting a guitar and just going into the town hall and saying, God, will you come to this area? And we pray that the heaven will touch earth, right, when we go to Tewkesbury. Now, that is the Lord's Prayer. Yeah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on as it is in heaven. Yeah. So the prayer engages heaven to earth. And when you're trying to start something new, you genuinely need a touch of heaven on earth. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So the team, now, you're very welcome to join us. This is not an exclusive club. If you want to come and pray with us, the next date is this month sometime, I can't remember, but come and see me afterwards. It's in my diary, right? But if you want to come to Tewkesbury, you can come and join us and come and pray with us in that area. Like, that God will do something there. What does the Bible say? Give and it shall be given to you. Reap what you
sow.
So these are very biblical principles of learning of how to plant a church. We're not really sure what we're going to do yet. We're not really sure how it's going to work yet. But one thing we're sure is that God has told us to go and do that. So obedience does two things. Obedience attracts God's attention, and it attracts an interest of people who want to be part of that. So that's exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting.
I think that's very exciting. So that's what's happening in Tewkesbury at the moment. So by God's grace, this time next year, we'll have one church, Tewkesbury. And that'll be another cousin to OCT. We'll become cousins to OCB. Isn't that wonderful? There you go. So the you probably all know about what's happening in Keynsham.
I'll just say, because I don't think we have mentioned it, but you may know that 2 weeks ago, Keynsham did a family day. Had 400 people come to their family day. It was unbelievable. It was rammed with people. It was a beautiful day like this. And I know they had a number of very good conversations as well. So they're doing great.
Yeah. So again, that was a church that we planted how long ago? 1937.
I would say it was around about 2016, 17 that we started to plant that church from here.
Yeah.
So from here, we did the same journey that you've just heard about with Tewkesbury. We went and prayed in Keynsham. We felt God say yes. We started to put a team into Keynsham. And now that team are resident there, growing a church and reaching out to that community in a really wonderful way. And it just happened to... Well, it wasn't lucky, it's God, but it just happened to be at a time when Keynsham is really growing as a town. People are moving into Keynsham, and it's really been a blessing to us. So, same journey again with Tewkesbury, and who knows how many others.
So, there's lots of things happen. In Podsmead, just a quick update of Podsmead. Podsmead is a very deprived area of Gloucester, a community that is... There's lots of needs. You understand in society this kind of area we're talking about. So the church is held in the club. It's called the Ramblers. It's the local club where the bar is. And literally, sometimes we go into church and you're clearing up the mess from the night before because the person who's supposed to was too smashed on his head to get up for the next day. So sometimes you're literally clearing up sick or toilets from a party the night before so you can do church. But that community are finding Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And it is a wonderful story of redemption and grace. And Liam and Lisa, who lead there, are doing a fabulous job there. We've got a problem because that's full as well. There's not exactly two community centres in Podsmead, so that's a little problematic for us. So please pray, because that's what's happening across the area. And lastly, can I just give a credit to my beautiful, wonderful wife? Because she's going to be cooking me dinner tonight. and washing up later. And I just sit there as she puts her cup. No, seriously. With all the changes that are going on in September, Ali's had to step up in looking after the locations, the different locations. So in my absence, you'd have seen Ali regularly turning up, supporting the team here. So credit where credit's due. She has stepped up and she's a brilliant leader, brilliant woman of God, and a brilliant encourager as well. So I just want to publicly thank her for that. Okay, there you go.
So some of these things, Si, that we've been talking about fit very well with the vision that you brought at our We Are One conference in October, which was to create spaces, grow disciples, raise leaders, and plant churches. I'll say that again. Create spaces for people to encounter Jesus, grow disciples that love Jesus, raise leaders, and plant churches. That's really been a clear sort of direction for us as a network. Do you want to just speak into where we're at with that and what you feel we can be, how we can be part of that as One Church Bristol?
Yeah, that's really good. Let's do that again. Create spaces for people to encounter Jesus. This is a very important part. So using the example of what I said in Gloucester, where the kids are coming, we need more space. There are spaces. And I think we need to be creative with that space. Don't just think about another room where all the chairs are laid out. The space isn't about the space. The space is about creating space for people to encounter Jesus, right? There's something powerful is when people come together. The Bible says when two or three gather, I will be with them. But as long as the focus is on Jesus, then you have a chance, because it's Jesus who changes lives, not a good service, not a good song, not a good, you know, not a good preach. Those things don't change lives. It's Jesus who changes lives. So we've got to learn to create spaces for people to encounter Jesus. Aspects of discipleship to serve your world. I'll come back to that. Raising leaders, we've already talked about that. We are constantly raising leaders, like developing leaders. And the opportunity for this church to grow in leadership is very real. It's a very real opportunity. We're already working. We have pipelines of leadership. We're talking about how we're going to grow emergent leaders. Mike and I were talking about, like, we've piloted a leadership course. And then we went, oh, it's too long, we need to adjust it. So Mike and I have been working on that, shortening it, making it more punchy. All right, the opportunities for people to serve in leadership in a one church setting is quite remarkable. The fact that we can send Kai and Emily to serve here, isn't that fabulous? Like, so Kai and Emily were saying in Gloucester, like, there's no space. We're like, go to Bristol. They went, okay, then. And they have grown with you. Yeah. You have been part of their learning. You have helped them grow in their leadership. Isn't it wonderful? Maybe there's an opportunity for people who have a call on their life or want to serve in leadership or want to serve in the house. There's an opportunity to grow. And, of course, planting churches is the opportunity. Tewkesbury is a good example. It's my belief, and this is where we've got to learn as a church, that every church should be thinking about planting a church. Yeah. Can I just say that again? Every church should be thinking about planting a church. So if you have an apple tree grows apples. We eat the apples, but the tree isn't thinking, I hope the humans eat my apples. The DNA of the tree is, I'm producing fruit, there's seed in that fruit to reproduce myself. You get that? We understand that. Apple trees don't just produce apples, they produce the potential of more apple trees. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
This apple tree, One Church Bristol, produces fruit to grow another tree. Mm-hmm. So it is on us as One Church Bristol to plant another church. You don't see an apple tree going, well, look at that. I've planted one, and sits back and says, no more fruit from here. That's done. When you buy your grapes, like the other day, I bought a bunch of grapes and I bit into the grape and it had a seed in it. Right, I've got so used to buying grapes without seeds. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Like, do you remember when grapes used to have seed in them? You spit them out, and you spit them out when your mother wasn't looking. Right, like, fruit is meant to have seed in it. It's the awkward part of the fruit. We enjoy the flesh of the fruit, but there's a responsibility that comes with the fruit. It's the seed part that needs replanting. Are you following me here? So listen carefully. We all have a responsibility to enjoy God's blessing. This is a wonderful service today. Well done, Esther. Right. But within that is a seed of responsibility. So one of the things I'll be teaching all our churches is how to take responsibility for the seed that's within us. So churches that plant churches, that plant churches, that plant churches. Is that making sense? So don't get scared about this, because I'm not going to ask you to preach. Yet. Yeah, true. Don't get worried. Like, but what skills have you got that could be replicated? Like, I can bake a cake. Well, bake two. one for One Church Bristol and one for the new church. There's things we can do. Within us all are their natural talents and supernatural talents as well, supernatural gifts. Allow them to grow, and this is a place where they will grow. Right, I've got one more thing I'm going to say. That's about discipleship, and I'll just finish with that. Otherwise, I'll just talk for hours. Are you getting bored, or are we doing okay? If I just one more thing, like turn to the person next to you and say, just one more thing. There's one more thing, but this is going to be good. So there's one more thing, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Yeah, very good. All right. Discipleship. This is one of the things I'll be talking about in all our locations as we go towards after the summer. All right. This thought is this. What is a disciple? What are the responsibilities of a disciple? So Jesus called his disciples to follow him, and since then, Jesus said to the disciples, go and make disciples. Now, they knew what that meant because Jesus had spent 3 years teaching them how to be a disciple. So we went, what Jesus taught us, we go and teach others. Right? This is where we've got to unlearn lots of stuff. Because we have got ourselves into the habit of allowing people, we turn up here and we listen, but it gets stuck in us. It gets stuck in us. So here's my challenge. Listen, here we go. This is one thing. Talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus about Jesus. Talk to someone who doesn't know about Jesus, talk to them about Jesus. Okay, you got that?
Yeah.
That's the first thing you have to do. Second thing you have to do is talk to someone who knows Jesus about Jesus. Being a disciple is two things. Talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus about Jesus, and talk to someone who does know Jesus about Jesus. If you do those two things, you'll be a disciple. If you don't do those two things, you're not a disciple. So think about it. Turn up to church and someone talking to us about Jesus doesn't make you a disciple. It's the seed inside of you that you pass on that makes you a disciple. Enjoy the grapes, live with the seed. Enjoy the grapes, do something with the seed. So I've had to challenge myself about this because I've got so used to be equating the word disciple with turning up to church on Sunday. But it's not. Talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus about Jesus. Talk to someone who does know Jesus about Jesus. Though, if you do those two things every single day, you'll get a gold star. Can you think about that? Just think about it. I'm going to say it one more time. You say it after me. Talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus. Say that after me.
Talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus.
About Jesus.
About Jesus.
Talk to someone who does know Jesus.
Talk to someone who does know Jesus.
About Jesus.
Brilliant.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
And hey, you know, you can do that out there in your own world and in your own life, and you can also do that through the church activities that we do. So that's why we have Grow, it's why we have Go, it's why we meet on Sundays, so that we can do that and encourage that and create a safe space for that. And so I want to encourage you, take just for a moment before we pray, imagine for a moment you've got a seed in you, because you have. God has done something in your life, he's given you something of a seed. And I want us just to remember, and for a moment we're going to pray and offer that seed back to God and say, God, what do you want me to contribute to what you're doing in the world today? Come on, let's pray.